Hello, and welcome to Broadcast Bullies Podcast. This episode, we discuss the Sedin twins announced their retirement, Drew the Magnificent, and we go back in time to see who Facebook hates. All that and more, this is episode 112. And now for your hosts, Mark Zamaro and me, Tyler Mizutovich.
Playing two-hand touch,
hockey.
Eating way too much, watching my team win with the twins.
The twins.
Twins.
You know, Tyler, I always considered us the Henrik and Daniel of Philadelphia Flyers podcasting.
Podcast twins.
We are the Sedin twins.
Oh, man. Hockey.
Hockey. So, yeah, just wanted to kind of kick off the show with that. We got plenty of Flyers stuff to talk about today, but you know, the Sedin twins have announced that they're going to retire. Little shocking to me. I think these guys still had some hockey left to play.
I didn't think it was going to happen so soon. When I saw it, it was one of those meh, yeah, okay moments. Not, I wasn't completely taken aback, but it's still a little surprised. I thought it was maybe a little premature.
Yeah, I mean, it tells me one thing, and that's the Canucks, as much as they've said,
yeah,
you know, hey, we want you guys to retire here this year. it seemed like they maybe had some different stances on how this was going to go. Because, I mean, right now, they were on the last year of their contract, and they were making, like, you know, $7 million a year. So, obviously, they would have came back for less than that, but I'm guessing the Canucks were probably like, hey, you guys want to come back for $1 million each or something like that and play on the third line? Cool. Yeah. We'd love to have you. And maybe the Sedins were like, we're looking for a little bit more than that or some more power play time or whatever. And I just think they're ready to go different directions. And I guess, you know, the Sedins just figure that's it. We were happy here. We'll be happy going back to Sweden. And, you know,
always wanted to play together and you don't want to risk it on the... You lucked out the first time around. You got to play together, and
I know.
Are you gonna get that in the same treatment in free agency? No package deal.
That's really amazing, though, if you think about it, how they did get to play on the same NHL team. Because if they were just like bad players or something like that, then sure, you draft one, then you draft the other. But the fact that, you know, because they're twins, they come in the same draft year, and they were both highly regarded. They went second and third overall, and Vancouver had to pull some wizardry off to kind of get both of them.
Pretty cool.
And they actually didn't start off their careers as big point getters. They really kind of, they were late bloomers, I guess, both of them.
Well, it was always scary watching them because they were twins. They didn't have to know where each other were.
Yeah, they had that telepathy or something like that.
It was really weird sometimes watching it. It sounded fake almost. Have you heard someone, you know, speaking about it? It's, I get it, twins. But then you'd watch them play, and it's like, there's no way. That's pretty cool.
Like, as you know, we're both fantasy hockey guys and stuff. So it was around the time that the Canucks got really good, where they made that cup run in 2011. So it was either like the year before that or that year. I drafted, I think the one year I had Henrik, the one year I had Daniel.
Yeah.
And it makes you watch them more. Like, you stay up late for you know, the night games and the Pacific time zone. And, boy, that really made me watch them because you don't normally get to see Vancouver Canuck games. So it was special. They were really a fun thing to watch in hockey.
And even watch them against the Flyers. There's always the matchups where you know the certain players you got to keep an eye on. And you know they're going to beat the Flyers. just certain players, you know, if they get talked up a lot, they're going to run circles around some of the guys. But they were two that as soon as they came into the stadium or, you know, anytime you watched them on TV, the Flyers playing them, it was tough. It was just tough to contain them. And it is a little sad to see them go, not so much because we didn't watch them, like you said, too often, just here and there. But overall, nothing crazy. I mean, it was not a huge surprise to me to see that and not like a huge... let down to see him retire, but neat to see it happen together, you know?
Yeah, this year Daniel had, he was third on the team in points. Brock Besser led the team till he got hurt. He only played 62 games.
Yeah.
So Daniel and Henrik each played, well, 78, 79, so Daniel must have missed a game. 52 and 48 points. So, I mean, clearly not what they were 100-point players at one time, but still pretty respectable when you think about it. Like, these guys are on their way out, and they still had, you know, 50-point seasons for a really bad team, and they were second and third on their teams in that.
Yeah. But how many times have you seen a guy who was a great player, and he just got worse and worse and worse, and you're like, what are you doing? Why are you prolonging this? And, you know, so maybe it was part of it, too. They wanted to go out as something, not just going out as a couple guys holding on to their careers and, you know, didn't want to give it up, so.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to compare apples to oranges, if you put them on the Flyers, they'd be fifth and sixth in scoring ahead of Wayne Simmonds.
Okay.
So, I mean, Simmonds missed a few games. He only played 72 compared to their 78, 79. But,
yeah,
you know,
but still.
It's right there with that type of production. So, I mean, yeah, they were exciting, very accomplished. Both won Art Ross trophies back-to-back years, of course, because that's how they do that. they were both, like, first-team All-Stars and, you know, won Olympic gold, both of them, of course. And, you know, they're basically the leader of every statistical category in Canucks history. Yeah. So, I mean, you got to fear, obviously, Hall of Fame for the Canucks, but you'd think Hockey Hall of Fame too, right?
Well, I think that them being the whole, I think the whole situation helps them as well. Not just that they were good players, but that they got to be good players together as twins on the same team. So, just as a bit of history alone, I think that that kind of makes it happen. But yeah, just overall great players, just perennially great players. So, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they'll get in rather easily. And it'd be funny if like one made it one year and the other didn't.
Just to add to it a little bit. No, we do everything together.
Yeah, I know. The one declines until the other one
even
gets
there. I just used your restroom, and you have their cards next to each other, eye level right behind your toilet, and they both have like the same signature.
Yeah.
It's like identical autograph, so.
Very strange.
Couple weird-looking dudes.
Yeah. So,
anyways.
Yeah, we got plenty of Flyers to talk about. It looks like they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, at 94 points, Florida seems like they're fading. And I think that's, you know, the Flyers basically have three games left and they're all against teams out of the playoffs. So they're there for the taking if they want them. Florida's got a little tougher road. They actually got to play five games this week and they need to win them all.
Right.
So, I mean,
how many points back are they of a wild card spot now?
The Flyers have 94. Jersey has 93.
Okay.
And also, Columbus actually has 94 as well, so if you want to tie that in, too. So it's more teams that they could free fall, I guess. But Florida has 86, so right now they're 7 points out. And all those other teams have three games left, and Florida has five. But again, you got to win five in 7 days, which is really tough. Two of them are against the Bruins. I think one's against, like, Nashville or somebody like their Tampa.
Yeah, I think it is Nashville.
It's
I think that might be the next game for them, actually. Might be.
Yeah, I would imagine they play tonight. Yeah. I don't even know. But it's going to be really, really tough for them. So right now, it looks like the Flyers are pretty solid in there. You would figure, you know, maybe they win a game or two out of the next three, which could be important depending on who you want to play.
Yeah.
They could play Washington. They could play Pittsburgh. Small chance they could play Columbus, or you could wound up playing Boston or Tampa. Do you have a preference out of all those teams?
If they play like they just played against Boston, maybe, minus the late game shenanigans. But a preference, Washington almost. You know?
I think that's the one I'd play too. Florida's playing Carolina tonight, actually. So
maybe
they stay alive for.
I think Nashville's one of them, though, because I swear, because I just did the same thing. They might even play
Nashville's
tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep.
Awful second half of back to back.
That's
not the way you want to go.
Because Nashville still is technically playing for something at this point.
Right.
So.
And who wins, a Predator or a Panther?
Hmm.
So I guess it's like a saber-toothed tiger, which is extinct, so I'm guessing the Panther
probably.
I think it's
not going to be much of a fight.
It's already history. All right, then.
Moving on. I mean, I saw some tweets that, like, people think the Flyers can give Pittsburgh a series. I don't see it.
I think that they will annoy the hell out of them. I don't know about giving them a series as in a run for their money. I think it would be good for whoever Pittsburgh played next.
I think Pittsburgh has the easiest road possible. I mean, they're either going to get the Flyers or Columbus in the first round. I think Columbus would give them a better series than the Flyers.
Yeah.
The Flyers just don't match up well. Yeah. At least with Columbus, with Seth Jones and Werenski, they got a little bit more shutdown ability on them. But, man, I still think that's an easy run there. And then the second round, they get whoever's left, which is like Washington or whoever. They own Washington.
Right.
So, God damn, this team's going to three-peat, aren't they? It's all lined up for them.
I don't think about it.
It really is.
I hate it.
And then, you know, you hope in the conference finals that they'll get, you know, it'll be either Boston, Tampa, Toronto. I don't know. Tampa's fading, man. They don't look
I know,
good.
Right? What happened there? Such a powerhouse. And now it's, you know, maybe they're saving it for the playoffs. I don't know. That doesn't usually work good for teams that try to do that.
Yeah. Boston's going to get healthier. That could be a, you know, be a fun series.
Yeah, I think that's the one. That's the team I have my eye on, unfortunately. I don't like them, but I think that they're going to go pretty far. They just look complete right now. It's really, really cool to see for them. I'm not a big Boston fan at all, but a little bit respect for them. If they could just get rid of that toucan on their team,
that'd
be great.
I guess we'll get into that since we'll talk a little bit about the Flyers Boston game from Sunday. The Easter Sunday spectacular. That was a great game.
It really was.
I mean, there were some crazy highlights in that game. You know, beautiful goal by Konechny, beautiful overtime winner by Giroux, a great glove save by Mrazek. In there somewhere was a nice little cross check to the face. Brad Marchand on Andrew McDonald gets fined $5,000 for it. No suspension yet again.
Yep.
What is with this guy on having so many close calls to suspensions?
Picks up a little drive through Mickey D's. Doesn't have to worry about it. I don't get it. I don't know how you cross check a guy in the face. In the face.
I think I didn't get to read the explanation, but I think it was something along the lines that because he hit him in the visor, it's not a suspension.
But you cross checked him in the face. Like, it shouldn't be, whoops, you didn't, you know. I don't know. That's like if I shot somebody in the chest and they're like, well, good thing they had a bulletproof vest on, so just don't do that again.
Yeah.
No. I mean,
to clarify, I think he was suspended earlier this year
for
five games, but he's also had a bunch of other close calls too. Like right after they suspend them, you know, like a few weeks later, he's just being dirty again.
Legs out, just it's bad. Who was the game recently? He like jumped at somebody's head. I can't remember, but he injured somebody too. Trying to get out of the way. No, he was not. He jumped and put his arms out at the guy's head. Like, I don't get the guy. He's a very skilled player, but he doesn't need to do that stuff. I know he's an agitator too, but
I don't think he can take it out of his game.
Yeah,
I don't think he has the ability to take it out, which is a shame. Because I know he's loved by his teammates and everything, but they're just like, cool, because he's not doing it to us.
Well, yeah. You're always happy when the bully's on your team. So. Right. I don't know. So the game actually was the first game, I think, that I watched. I didn't watch any of it. Flyers game, I think I listened to the whole thing. I was actually driving back from Canada. Took a quick impulsive trip to the falls and stuff. And I listened to the entire game on radio, which was unfortunate because it's probably the most, I just spit everywhere. I said that, sorry. Probably the most visually spectacular game.
It really was.
Season.
I was texting you. And like the first one, I think I had texted you about
Konechny's
goal, which if anybody didn't see it, look it up on Twitter somewhere on YouTube. What a great goal. I mean, and it was on Boston's like best players. Like he went inside out on Bergeron.
I did watch him now. But I couldn't believe that he flicked it to himself over a couple sticks. And then as soon as it landed, toe drags it around somebody and just fires it home. I was like, what did I just... I heard it, and Tim Saunders was... I have Sirius. Mm-hmm. So luckily, usually when I'm listening to the game on Sirius, it is the away broadcast. But... I got to listen to Tim Saunders just lose it. He went nuts on it. It was so cool. I love listening to Tim.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, I jumped out of my seat. And I jumped out of my seat on the overtime goal, too, because it was such a nice pass from Voracek, and he hit him, like, at the blue line, so you knew it was a breakaway from then. So I jump up because I feel like if I'm closer to the TV, he's got a better chance of scoring somehow.
Did it work?
Yes,
yeah!
He did. And he did the move. I know you're probably not as geeky as I am, but Barkov did that move in a shootout earlier this year where he faked like he was going between his legs and then pulled it out and then went backhand. And I was like, as soon as he did that and put it in, I was like, he did the Barkov move! And like my girlfriend was like, what's wrong with you?
And then Blake was like, bark! Yeah, I can do that.
I'm in on that.
Yeah, Blake's Mark's dog in case you're just listening for the first time.
Right.
It was neat. It was neat to hear it, and then, you know, to go back, I was like punching the roof of my car. So it was really exciting to hear, and then getting to go back and watch that, I was like, man, I should just drive the long distances when they're playing more often, because it worked out well for them.
Well, so you had the radio broadcast. You did not get to watch it on NBC. We had the national feed here, which was Doc and
Eddie. Oh, good. So I'm glad
Eddie.
I'm glad that I missed Pierre.
And Pierre. They were all there. And they did again, what happens every time the Flyers play on a national broadcast, they go into this weird defense of Andrew McDonald, where they point out how he's the most underappreciated guy in Philadelphia, and we don't understand why the fans don't like him, and blah, 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 blah. And it, like, they just, it sounds scripted at this point. Like, they just have a time where, you know, whoever gets the messages from the producer in their ear, it's like Andrew McDonald time, you know, like, talk about how he's underappreciated, because I just don't get it. And then the funny thing is, well, it wasn't funny at the time, McDonald was, like, completely responsible for the last goal of the game. Like, Simmons had a bad clear, but McDonald had, like, three tries at it and missed every time they scored. And it's like, come on, man. Like, stop feeding us this. He's an okay player, but for the $5 million he makes, he's not good.
So the end of the game, maybe I wasn't paying attention close enough, but on the radio, I don't remember hearing McDonald's voice or name called once in regards to not clearing. The only person they called out was Simmons.
Simmons was more obvious. Yeah. Like he had it like a couple feet away from the blue line and was open for that. I mean, hockey's a fast game, but it seemed like he had enough time to just gather it and flick it, and all he had to do was get it out of the zone and the game would have been over, and he didn't. Whereas McDonald, like, the puck kind of, like, found him, and he tried, like, an awful, like, backhander, and it just goes, like, right to their guy, you know? And there was one of those right before Simmons, too. It was actually, like, Jori Lehterä made the best play during that whole sequence. He had a guy on him in the corner and made a fantastic, like, shielding of the puck and pushed the puck up to Simmons. Okay. Like, for as much crap as we give Lehterä all the time, like, he's actually been playing really well in a defensive role. But, man, I'm so sick of hearing the McDonald's.
And you know what's
defense.
Funny is that we've defended him a number of times. We say, like, hey.
When it's
due. Yeah,
sure.
Like, you don't need to rag on this guy so much. But, it is. It's weird. It's weird listening to the national broadcast, and they do. They harp on it. I did hear a quick clip of, I think it was, it was the clip of when Giroux went down and scored the first goal.
Right.
And right after that save, because that was what happened, right?
Yeah, Mrazek made a big save.
They take the face off. As soon as they take that face off, I heard Pierre start talking about Crosby.
Yep.
And then Drew skates out and scores. I was like, what is going on? Why is this guy, why can he not talk about Crosby? What's going on with this? I watched literally maybe 30 seconds of that game, watched it on, you know, the replays, where I could hear, you know, you see all the replays going on and on, but where you could actually hear, like, the announcers and stuff. And in that 30 seconds was Pierre talking about Crosby, of course.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Not to bring that into it, but just that reminded me of it.
And I think they brought it up. I know it came up, like, on Twitter and social media and all kinds of stuff afterwards. But after Konechny scored, you know, people are saying, oh, my God, that should be, like, one of the goals of the year.
Yeah.
And immediately people were like, oh, Crosby's goal the other day was better. And I don't know if you saw it. It was against the Devils. I believe it was in overtime.
Yeah.
Crosby comes down and shoots the puck. It hits the poster, the crossbar or something, and comes back to him, and then he bats it out of the air into the net.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Own rebound. Got it. Off the backboard.
Right. But Konechny meant to do all those things that happened.
Yeah.
He saw a small crease there, flipped the puck over the guy's stick, kind of, you know, toe dragged it past Bergeron and shot real fast. Crosby tried to score, but he hit the post.
Right. He tried something, missed.
Right. Then it came back to him, and he made a nice hand-eye coordination play. Which, by the way, whenever that happens in the NHL, everybody loses their mind.
I know.
Like, I play roller hockey, and that happens once every couple games. Somebody's hitting something out of the air or whatever. I think I have above-average hand-eye coordination, but I do that all the time.
You know what I think's more impressive than baseball swinging it into the net? I think it's more impressive when you see someone like Voracek receive a pass that is airborne and gets it just down on the ice and continues to skate with it.
Yep.
That's more impressive to me because you almost like lacrossed it out of the air onto the ice so that you can then keep skating.
Yeah.
Whereas this is just swinging at something.
Yep.
You know?
Or when it passes behind them, how they like kind of drag their foot and they're able to you know, just guide the puck off their skate without like losing a stride.
No one better than Giroux.
Giroux's real good at that.
He's unbelievable with his feet.
Yeah, or like the stuff Gossis Bear does to keep the puck in at the blue line. Yeah. It's amazing. But yeah, I mean, hitting a puck out of the air is great. But
that's cool.
It happens. Yeah. It's not as hard as people think it is.
Defensemen do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like all the time, you know. I understand it doesn't always translate to a goal, but and when it does, it's more exciting. But yeah, it's a hockey play.
Yeah. As we were kind of saying, the more impressive Crosby goal, I thought, was the one where like it popped up in the air. He tapped it like in the air to himself
purposely
and then hit it a second time
in the air. Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was, most people don't think to do that. Yeah. That was more planned than hitting the post and having to come back to you.
Pretty cool for being a dweeb.
What are you going to kick sand in his face? Hey, nerd.
That mustache. I want to. That's how I see it. I just don't like him.
Yeah. Well, he's got a punchable face. We've discussed that.
Anywho.
Yeah.
We got more stuff.
More stuff, yeah. Actually, I don't think we do.
All right, that's it. End of the show. So anyway, back to Giroux, because this should be a podcast focused around, you know, the Lord and Savior. But he's at 95 points. He's got 3 games left. He could get 5 more points. He's had some surges for sure.
Yeah.
Could get there. Flyers could also get to 100 points. That's pretty exciting.
They play the Islanders. He could get 5 that night.
Sincerely, and he has.
Yeah.
You know? It's exciting. I really hope he does. I know he doesn't care so much, but I want to see him just get to that mark. I think he would be only the 6th or 7th Flyer ever to hit 100 points. So I would definitely like to see it happen for him. He deserves it.
Well, first off, his name is really starting to surface in some Hart Trophy. Like, not so much winning it, but people are starting to think, hey, maybe this guy should be one of the top 3.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, we talked about this a little while ago.
Yeah.
Kucherov's fallen off a little bit. But with the Devils making the playoffs, which looks like they're going to, Taylor Hall certainly skyrocketing up the charts.
Yeah.
Colorado might not make it now, so that kind of hurts McKinnon's
crazy.
Case.
Yeah. It's crazy that they were even close, and then now it's crazy that they're not. They're on the outside looking in. It's like, what? We can't.
Yeah,
can't read you.
And if they do get in, it's probably going to be because of McKinnon.
Right.
So these last 3 games or whatever are going to probably tell the tale of whether he wins the MVP or not. But it's good to see Giroux starting to get some recognition. Where do you kind of have him? Like in your top 5 guys worthy of this?
I think he's got to be top 5 at this point. The guy is. He's not solely responsible for the Flyers. But, and again, we talked about this last podcast. It's got to be somebody who, it's got to be the right combination of the team can't be too good where you weren't necessary, but it can't be so bad that you were irrelevant. You've got to have that good combination of your team's just good enough that with you on the team, it makes them a playoff team, kind of.
And he's been so clutch lately.
Yeah,
like he's scoring big goals.
He scores in overtime. He's getting the game started with goals. He had a 5-point game not too long ago. He's big, you know.
If he misses 15 games this year, the Flyers are dead and buried by now.
Yeah.
I mean, not even close. He's been so consistent. So
100 points. I mean, that's, you know, he's at 95. I'm going to use my math skills and round up here because it's a 5.
Right.
I learned it. 100 points for the season. That is awesome. That is a very, very valuable player to your team, and it's somebody that the Flyers simply could not do without.
So I know this is obviously premature because he's still on the team, but, you know, he's starting to pass a lot of names on these scoring lists. Where is he among Flyers greats? Is he the type of guy that, do you think he gets, like, his number retired when all's said and done?
I think that if he brings a cup to the team,
well, yeah,
then yes. But if he doesn't,
Nick Foles is going to have his number retired for the Eagles.
Right.
He brought a Super Bowl.
If he doesn't, I think he's going to be very, very highly regarded. But I don't know about having his number retired.
Yeah. I think if he finishes his career here, he will.
Yeah, exactly. If he, because he's going to keep passing people. He is, I mean, geez, like we just said, he could be one of a handful of Flyers that ever hit the 100-point mark. That's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Rick McLeish doesn't have his number retired. He's one of the guys. Mark
Recchi did.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, there's some of the guys that you...
Recchi didn't play here long enough, though.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the some of the differentiating factors you got to look at. And the fact that he's played here his whole career is awesome. The fact that he murdered Crosby that one shift and got called the greatest player in the world, you know, that's another factor. So those are all the intangible things. A Stanley Cup would be a no-brainer, but even without a Stanley Cup, yeah, if he plays another 5 or 6 years in a Flyers uniform, I mean, I think at that point it would also be a no-brainer.
I mean, if you listen to the fan base, he wouldn't be here because everybody
he's
earlier
been
in the season
several times
traded
already.
Him. Yeah. Like, and I thought it would be kind of funny, and this is totally off the tops of our heads now. I decided to go back into Flyers Facebook and just scroll back a bunch
Flyers
of...
Flyers Facebook history.
Flip the calendar back to 2017 in December.
Ooh.
So I picked a random game here, and it was just like, I think it was one of the games they lost to the Penguins. It was like a 5-1 loss. Let me see when this is. Actually, no, I'm sorry. It was January. It was January 2nd.
Oh, you don't even know.
We're not even back in
we're not even back in time at this point. It's just 2018 still.
And I wanted to just read some comments, and I'm just going to kind of fly through them, so I apologize for some dead air.
Gaps.
Because I haven't looked at these yet. I looked at a couple just to be like, yeah, there's definitely some stuff here.
Yeah.
And it was funny. One of the first ones that came up was, should I read the names? Does it matter? Or should I just...
Just maybe and first name and comment? Last initial or just the first name?
Yeah, I'll just say first name.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. The guy's name is Colt.
Colt.
Yeah.
45 is his last name.
And he says, Konechny and Patrick are busts. They suck.
The end.
There's more.
Oh, all right.
Patrick should have been sent back to juniors at the beginning of the year. Konechny belongs in the AHL in another organization.
Why is he shunned to the AHL and has to be traded? That's unfortunate for him. I can't even play for the Phantoms. You got to play for someone else.
Yeah, there were a bunch of responses to it, and I don't know. There's at least
That's awesome.
I'm not saying all the comments on here are dumb, because a lot of people are saying, like, you're an idiot, you know.
And you're an idiot.
I'm sure I'm probably on here saying that, too.
The next six comments are Mark. It says, you're an idiot every time. We get it.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, like, hey, give them time. Because, I mean, you got to remember, Konechny's, what, 21, 20, something like that?
Something like that. He's a young dude still. It's pretty cool because we had you and I since, I mean, we've defended him for a while, and we've had some friendly discussions with some of our friends on Facebook and such, and defended him. And same thing, we were the guys like, no, you got to give the guy a chance. He's worthy of a chance. And then when he gave him a chance, he's doing things like yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many that just, I'm paraphrasing on here, but there weren't so many trade gurus on here. Like, there are some.
There's been in the past.
Yeah, I'll find some, but everyone on here is like, strip him of the C.
I always like that argument, because who are you? What information are you getting that I don't have that makes you know that he's not a good captain?
Yeah.
I never understood that argument. If I see someone who's not trying, and I see someone, if you see them at a practice or something, and, you know, they look like they just don't care, that kind of stuff, like, all right, maybe strip them of. If they're taking a lot of penalties, that kind of thing, I get it. But you don't ever see that from him, ever. The guy works hard and skates hard no matter what. So all you're judging him on is his stats?
This guy is trying to make an argument of why they should trade Giroux, like, according to the backlash that people are saying, like, you're an idiot, you don't trade your best player. He says, people who argue against trading their favorite player need to look at history. Flyers once traded their top scorer, Recchi, and people went crazy. They got Leclerc and Desjardins in that trade. Well, I don't think anybody's offering like these great players. Like, you're not trading superstar for superstar here.
LeClaire was a throw-in. Nobody knew. That was like, oh, and also you get LeClaire.
Yeah, and it was a great move for the Flyers.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, most of the people that are saying the trade Drew are just saying get rid of him.
Right.
Like, get a draft pick for him.
There's two ways it goes. You either are going to get like McDavid for him, or you're going to just dump him. That's what people always. There's always two sides of the argument there. Nobody ever is like, oh, here would be an interesting trade, Drew for Tavares. But also, like, no, it's always something ridiculous. Like, get rid of him for whatever they'll give you. Now, come on.
This one was solid from Jeffrey. He says, the Flyers need to be dropped from the league and come back as an expansion team so they can contend like the Las Vegas Golden Knights are right now.
Jeffrey's just upset that he's out of work from Toys R Us business.
That's a solid strategy there.
The Flyers should be an expansion team again. I don't... Awesome. Yeah.
I mean, blow it up. There's just so many people... You know, a lot of fire the coaches, of course, and
yeah.
I think people are still thinking that. So
that was the time frame. January was fire the coach season. February was get this guy an Oscar or some kind of congratulations for his excellent coaching because he was coaching them to an awesome February, and then March was like, whoa, this guy sucks again. So, but I don't really trust it.
I don't even know what this means. Morgan writes, Flyers need to actually hit Crosbitch. If Buttman reacts how we think he will, it will prove that he's corrupt. Mm-hmm. How do we think? I'm guessing she means Bettman, obviously, but...
I don't get what that means. I mean, I get it, kind of. Like, you want to... I don't know.
I don't really know.
Hit Crosby so that Bettman is upset, and then that'll prove that he likes the Penguins.
Tim writes, trade Giroux, make Simmons the captain. Start with that.
All right.
Wayne Simmons, are we concerned yet about Wayne Simmons? I mean,
why? Because he hasn't really been good this year?
Yeah. 72 games, 23 goals, 22 assists, 45 points. He's 8 goals below last year, 9 goals below what he did 2 years ago. And the assists are, well, it's only one less than last year. He's never been a big assist guy. 5 less than that. I mean, he went from 60 points to 54 to 45 this year.
Isn't it funny how certain players, they can't do anything right. Certain players, people will never rag on no matter what. Simmons, absolutely love the guy. Great character guy. Don't want to see him anywhere else. However, last couple of months, he's a non-factor out there.
Yeah.
He doesn't matter on the ice.
And it's not like he's having this like awful shooting percentage year. He always shoots between 13 and 14%.
Yeah.
Like the last 8 years. I'm sorry, he went up to 14.9 the 1 year. But he's always somewhere between 13 and 15%. This year he's shooting 13.6.
I get it that he ended up getting hurt. And then he goes from being hurt to then he's bumped on a third line. And, you know, I understand those factors play into it as well. But for a little while now, he hasn't been too much of a factor. And usually if he's not scoring, he's at least hitting somebody, stirring something up, yelling at somebody, something cool. It hasn't really been too much of that. He's been a little quiet.
Yeah, he has. And it's the shots are way down. I mean, I know he hasn't played as many games, but... I mean, he's only got 169 shots on net. Last year, he had 224. That's a big gap.
He's missing 7 games this season. He's not missing anything substantial. You know, it's 7 games is still a chunk of the season, but what's it? A couple weeks he missed, so it's nothing too crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he could be playing himself right back into the Flyers, like because we all thought he was going to have this great year, and then
right.
he was going to need this big contract coming up, and. Yeah. Maybe he's playing himself out of that. Maybe they can keep him still. But at this point, you know, like you just said, love the guy. He's a character guy. But you're starting to see some of these other guys, like Lindblom, like he's the next Simmons.
Yeah, yeah.
Same guy. You put him in the opportunity and, you know, the first power play unit that Simmons plays, and you'll probably get similar numbers.
Yeah.
Because Simmons does not really do well 5-on-5. He's been a minus player his entire career since with the Flyers anyway. I mean,
You look at some of the top guys just on their list in points. Drew, Voracek, Couturier, Ghost, Konechny, all above him in points. All plus. All, you know, Couturier is a plus 28. That goes to show that the guy, and he's out there in so many defensive situations, you know?
Yeah.
I know a lot of it is penalty kill too, so that doesn't totally count. But, you know, Simmons at a minus 15 for the season. That's not great. You know, you don't want to see that for somebody who's playing top line minutes. You don't want to see him. And it's equally confusing that you were playing top line minutes and the other guy's with you.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the third line now, but
right. I don't know. Yeah. I'm saying the beginning of the season, for the first half of the season, he played on the second line.
Yeah.
So, hey, I don't want to knock the guy. Like I said, love him. I think he's a great player. I think he's better still than what he's putting up his numbers wise right now. I hope that I'm correct about that. I also kind of hope that I'm not for the rest of the season, because I would like to see him get a contract extension. And like you said, it might be that perfect happy medium where, hey, man, maybe $4.5 million does it. He's at 45 points, hangs around there. Maybe that $4.5 million is enough to keep him on the team. $5 million, maybe.
Maybe.
The next couple seasons, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, I'm trying to scroll to maybe a different game here or something, because I got sick of seeing...
You get threads where you get these same people that can't shut up, and then they just go through and try to argue with other people.
All right, this is after a... This is December 20th, and it's after, like, a Filppula quote.
Whoa.
I don't know, just saying they got to be better and whatever, but the first one is Joseph, and he says, "He should have not traded Shen. We should have made him the second-line center with Jake on the wing and moved Filppula to third line. I like Filppula, but my God, they traded Shen when he was hitting his prime and never gave him an opportunity to mature at center."
Okay.
Shen had a very good start to the season.
Really good start, yeah.
I'd like to see his second half.
Right. He ended up with 65 points this season total. Yeah.
After, like, leading the league early on.
I'm pretty sure he had 10 goals in the first couple weeks of the season. He skyrocketed fast. So, an okay second half. I mean, 65 points is still pretty solid. But previous years, I mean, he had 55 and 59.
Yeah,
you know,
but
go backwards.
You know there's only three spots on the top line, right? So he's got 65 points playing on the top line.
Yeah.
What's Giroux got? 95? Couturier, I don't know. Like, do you have the Flyer stats
up
still?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's tough to say, because Voracek was on there for most of the year, and then Konechny is now. So, but you could see what Konechny's doing when he's on there. So.
95 for Giroux, 82 for Voracek, 71 for Couturier.
Yeah.
Gostisbehere at 60, and then Konechny at 47.
So 65 points playing on a top line wouldn't be good here.
If Konechny had the whole season on top line, he would.
Right.
I think he might be past Shen.
Yeah, Konechny had like 4 points going into January. Yeah. It was bad.
He played 30 games maybe on that top line, and he put up almost all, you know, a vast majority of his points.
And Konechny doesn't play on the top power play either.
Right.
Where Shen gets most of his points too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think I have his power play goals up here. He has eight this season. He had 17 power play goals last season.
Wow. There's Flyers lost 3-0 to the Bruins on December 2nd. There are 1,000 comments here. See, just
now we're going back
right from the top. Here we go. Coach and G need to go. Neither have leadership. Hackstall isn't a good coach. Drew lacks mental toughness. Always has.
Mental toughness.
Yeah.
Like having clutch goals. Can't do it. He crumbles, obviously.
A lot of Danik Martel love on here.
Oh, I forgot about that. Him? I forgot he was a thing. Yeah. That's right. He came and played one game and was pretty good, and then played a couple more games and wasn't any good.
Yep. Give him the chance.
Put the C on that guy. That's funny. I forgot all about him. If at the end of the season you would have said his name, I might not have remembered it.
Yeah, remember all the Tyler Goulburn love, too?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it on here. It was, like, later in the season, I think.
That's just people wanted him to come up and beat somebody up. That's it.
Hextall traded a 20-plus goal scorer to St. Louis for what? You blew that deal.
Blew it.
By the way, what did they get in that deal?
Frost is one of them, right?
Yeah.
One of like the best prospects right now.
He's leading the all of Canadian juniors, I think.
All of everyone ever.
Yeah.
No, something like that.
Something like that. He's having a fantastic year.
For points, goals, and assists, he's in the top of all. He's in the top couple spots for all of them.
Yeah.
And they still have another pick.
And they get St. Louis's pick this year, too, which St. Louis hasn't made the playoffs yet. That could still be in the late teens.
Yeah.
You know, that could be pretty nice. Yeah. And if they somehow like win the lottery or something, then the Flyers would get St. Louis's pick next year plus a third round pick.
Remember, it's one of my favorite things to remember now is that the Flyers moved up to what, pick 24 to get Konechny? You know, that's if you get a St. Louis pick at a 14 spot, that's you can get a pretty awesome player.
If anything, the Flyers have been good at its drafting lately. They've drafted some good guys. I'm still a little worried about Rubistov, though.
Yeah.
He's kind of, like, now that he's over here in Canadian Juniors and still not really, like, lighting it up.
Right. Let's go, dude.
Little concerned that he was a first-round pick, but especially when there were other, like, Kiefer Bellows was still on the board, and I really liked him. And, you know, I don't know. They had some options. Let me find another one. This is like really fun though.
It is good to see. It's neat going back because, like I said, we had some of those arguments, and then you go back and you see just people. I love when you're like, oh, here we go. And the first comment was like the Papa John's thing where it's like free pizza, and the guy's like, your pizza sucks. Then don't comment. They're giving free pizza.
I know, right? They're just not giving like, you a deal on it.
Oh, man.
All right. Nice job, Flyer. This is from Colt again. Remember Colt?
Colt Sissons. Yeah.
This is a totally different game, but he's commenting again. All right. Nice job, Flyers. Can't put a beach ball in the ocean.
I you know what? I'm going to say they can do that.
Yeah. I don't think he's not using that correctly.
Beach ball in the net. I mean, that's makes
It's a term goalies use when they can't stop a puck. They say, like, oh, I couldn't stop a beach ball tonight.
A lot of times, yeah, exactly.
But couldn't put a beach ball in the ocean. All right.
I mean, it makes it worse because, if you can't get it into the ocean. I mean, but also maybe you live in Philadelphia and you're not close enough to the ocean.
Right.
Because I can't right now.
Like, it would
take
some time, yeah.
Yeah, maybe in a couple of hours I could.
Yeah, but he says, Patrick and Konechny ain't going to cut it in the NHL. Horrid.
Ain't a word.
Ain't a word. Fire the entire leadership team.
Is that just coaching or?
I don't know.
Is Hextall going?
I don't care if they are bad, if they are exciting, but the brand of no scoring, non-physical hockey is a good way to kill off my fandom.
I'm sorry, but there's not many times, it's very rare that a bad team's exciting. Once in a while, a bad team will play a little more aggressively because they don't care. But if they're a bad team, they probably also don't have anybody really exciting on the team. So,
Tom writes, this is the worst Flyers team on the ice in some time. Giroux is overrated.
Wow. Worst in some time.
Some time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you're talking about some time as in like the same season, but they were worse last year. Even around that time, they were worse last year. So, interesting.
Yeah. Ed Snyder would not approve of this team. They need to fight more.
That's always, I hear that so often. Yeah. Why don't they fight more? No. No. What does that do for you?
Yeah, I saw a bunch of those earlier when I was on a different game looking up things, and it was like, they should have had Patrick fight that guy or something. I'm like, why would you want your 19-year-old kid fighting people? Like,
yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, we lost 5-2, but we beat them in 3 fights, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, Simmons can't even really, like, fight anymore or whatever, because he's got, like, that teeth thing going on or whatever, so I imagine he can't get into a scrap, so it's like Brandon Manning's doing all the, taking the punching the bag.
Yeah. He's hit or miss. Sometimes he fights it. It's like, all right, Manning got us some in there, and sometimes it's like, oh, God, don't fight.
Yeah, he's like the guy, like, you want doing that stuff, though, because he's not that effective with most of his other game, but, like, when he plays like a jerk, he's a lot better. Yeah. And, you know,
he's at least agitating and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. Sometimes it does spark him a little bit.
Yeah, Simmons doesn't need that. He can be aggressive and angry without fighting somebody. Also, because a lot of people just won't fight him.
Ed writes, trade G Nail, settle for a 4th round pick.
Wow. And that sounds, fourth round makes it sound like it's serious. If you said, well, get rid of him for a seventh, that sounds more like I'm trying to be ridiculous. For a fourth round pick, sounds like you put thought into this, and that's where you value him at.
Oh, man.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, it's just a lot of hate on Hextall. Where do you see Hextall now? Like,
meh.
Just meh?
Like, just meh. I don't really care. He's not doing anything terrible. He's not doing anything great. I don't think that, like, the team wins games in spite of him, but I also don't think that they are, I don't know. I don't think he's driving anything special. He makes some questionable decisions sometimes, but nothing crazy like the, you know, throwing the challenge flag out there kind of thing. It costs you a penalty. He hasn't done that in a while or anything. So I don't know. I don't mind him. I see why people get frustrated, but there are times where I'm like, well, this guy actually is, he's assembling a decent team. He's kind of keeping them, I guess, even keeled. So yeah. I don't know. I don't have much of an opinion on him, to be honest.
Craig wrote, "Hey, Captain Giroux." Like, I think he thinks he's talking directly to him. "Can't get one shot in 23 plus minutes on ice. Hit the pike. You stink."
Hit the pike.
The pike. Guy has 95 points this year.
He's not even allowed to fly anywhere. He's got to drive.
And the funny thing is, like, you know, this is, sure, it's out of context. These things are from, posts I'm reading are from months ago. But at the time, people have screenshotted in here, the sensible fans. He was, like, in the top 10 in scoring in the entire league.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know why.
All season.
We blame the best players for when the team's bad.
All season, he's been one of the best players in the league. He's been pretty consistent. Him and Voracek all season. Voracek started to fall off a little bit recently. Not anything crazy, but he just wasn't keeping up with the race. Giroux has been there all season. Like, maybe not in the first couple of weeks when you get those crazy couple guys get two hat tricks or something. But I don't get that at all.
I mean, he should probably shut it down now, because if you look forward, like, he's not going to be able to match this next year probably, because he's having such a good.
He's
like,
definitely getting traded next season.
Like, he's like third or fourth of the league in scoring right now. Like, it's going to be really tough to do that again. And yeah, people's expectations next year are going to be even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a lot of hate for Voracek on there, like, present day.
Right.
And what, he's in the top 10, I think, in scoring too, or like
somewhere north. Yeah, he's up there. I think he's tied with a few people at 82, but
yeah, over a point a game.
My only gripe with... Yeah, well, right, exactly. He's still got 3 points over a point a game. But my only gripe with him this season is that he just won't shoot. That's great. He's got 63 assists. That counts, too. You're making somebody else score. I get it. But, I would like this. Because he has a really nice shot. And he has a very good drive to the net. 19 goals for him, not totally happy with. I would expect him to have more goals than Giroux, because usually they're flip-flopped, but hey, whatever. I mean, I'll take Giroux having
But I don't think people realize how important Voracek is. He really drives play on whatever line he's on.
Yeah.
You know, they put Patrick and who's playing with him right now? Lindblom.
Right.
With Voracek, and like, as soon as that happened, like, that team started picking up, and like, they're a dangerous looking line out there.
And we've said it countless times, is Voracek got that from Jágr. When you watch him play, he shields the puck like Jágr does. He's very hard to body off the puck. When he has control, he has control. It's very good. His passing decisions aren't always the best, but and obviously he's passing a lot more because he's not scoring as often. But you're absolutely right. The guy, he's a possession guy. So it's fun to watch him.
Yeah, does a hell of a job. I'm shutting down the Facebook
stuff. Yeah, just, one of the others.
If anybody ever wants to go on there and read, some
it's either going to start to get a little boring because you're trying to top the other ones, or you're going to start to get angry because sometimes when you read this, you start to get really frustrated with it. But
I know I should just look at like today's post or something and see like how quickly negative it would get. But
I experienced something pretty negative over the weekend. I actually kind of briefly got into it with you a little bit before the show. I decided, spur of the moment, with a lady friend, we decided to, 2 weeks ago, we're like, we got a long weekend coming up because of the holiday. Let's go somewhere. We decided to drive to Niagara Falls. Awesome trip. We got into Canada, and I thought it was so funny because it was very stereotypical, a lot of the things that were going on. Of course, I said sorry, like, nonstop, and a boot, and oot, stuff like that. Also realized that they only call bathrooms washrooms, not restrooms. I don't know, it's just a weird little thing. But my favorite part was you drive across the Rainbow Bridge. First of all, it's called the Rainbow Bridge. That's fun. But you drive across the Rainbow Bridge.
It's like Mario Kart, isn't it?
Rainbow Road is, yeah. It's Rainbow Boulevard in Niagara Falls. They missed, right. Yeah, they missed it there. But you drive across, and you go from the American side to the Canadian side. You get over onto land in Canada, quote unquote, because you didn't get through the gates yet. You still are on American soil, I guess, even though you're on the other side of the river. And they're like, oh, bonjour, you know, nice to see you. What are you guys, you know, where are you coming from? And, you know, how long are you staying? That kind of stuff. And they're like, oh, by the way, you have anything in your car? And you're like, nah, we don't got anything. They're like, all right, see ya. Have a great time. And they're like waving to you.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Like you can see them in your rearview mirror, like leaning out the window, waving at you, having a great time. And then you go into their country and, you know, people are, I mean, right there, it's a ton of tourists. So you're not getting the full Canadian experience, I'm sure, but people that work there are all Canadian, so it's pretty neat. You get those nice people and everything. Had a great time. The Canadian side's so much better than the American side. Sorry, New York.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Another reason why I don't like your state. It's like New York side's like abandoned houses and stuff. It's really weird. Like you can see the sides of the falls. It's neat, but
yeah.
Canada's got the view. And you know, nice people. But then we were coming back because we stayed on the American side. Just I don't know why. And you come back and you go across the opposite side, but now you're, I guess, technically still on Canadian soil, even though the people to your left in the cars are technically on American soil because you both haven't crossed over the borders yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, if I jumped across the bridge, I guess I could go back to the, but I'd have to go back through the Canadian. It's weird, you know? Mm. Anyway, so now it's Americans you're talking to and you're coming back through, super pissed. As soon as you come back in, I don't know why. We went 2 days, we went back and forth both times. Both times the Americans were pissed that we were coming back. And I'm like, all right, maybe it's not right, but maybe if you were a citizen of a different country and you're coming into America, harass them a little bit. Yeah, we're jerks, you know?
It's probably because if they worked 50 feet north, they get free health care.
Well, yeah, maybe. They can see, like, people getting vaccinations across the bridge.
Right.
They're just stewing in their mumps. So, you know, you get there, and I hand the guy our passports, our American passports, and the guy goes, citizenship. And I look, and I thought I heard him say that, but I didn't. I was like, I could, certainly, that's not what he said. So I said, I'm sorry. And he goes, what's your citizenship? And I said, like, where I'm from? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, America. Like, I just handed you my American passport. He's like, roll down your windows. I was like, what the hell's going on here? Do you have any weapons or alcohol? No, dude, I don't have anything.
But you said you're American.
Get out. So I was like, man, I didn't do anything fun in Canada, you know?
I know, right?
I sincerely, actually, literally had a bunch of maple syrup because I was buying it for my dad because he loves maple syrup. So, yeah, he, like, is asking, he's like, and I know that's their job to intimidate you so that, you, like, you spill the beans if you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. But, yeah, the Canadian side, like, my girlfriend's, like, kind of asleep in the passenger seat, and they're just like, oh, hey, I'll just whisper so that she stays asleep, you know? And on the American side, the guy's
got,
like,
an air horn.
Who's next to you? Damn. So I just thought that was funny. I didn't, like, it was an amazing trip, but I just thought it was my only experience I've ever had with Canadians, like, actually being in, I've met Canadians in, like, Disneyland and stuff before, but, like, being, going across the border like that, and I thought it was so funny, because the first time was enough, and I'm like, you know. Stereotypes can't really be. And then the second time we went across and back, same exact experience. It was so weird.
I've only been to Canada once. I was up visiting a buddy in Michigan, and his in-laws, like, live in a... He lives in Ann Arbor. There's another... his in-laws live, like... I forget what town it is, but it's, like, you can see Canada across, the water. So they just decided, like, the one day, like, hey, let's just go over there. It was, like, Windsor or something like that in Ontario. It's like, you know, they got some casinos there. So it was the same thing. Like, super nice going over.
That's so weird.
And then on the way back, we had to take, like, a ferry to get back.
Yeah.
And, like, it was to the point, this is before you needed a passport.
Okay.
You know, you just had your driver's license or whatever, and it was fine. And, like, they gave us such a hard time. Like, I didn't think I was coming home.
Oh, no, I'm stranded in Canada. Oh, wait, no, that's kind of cool. That was the coolest thing, though, is we went to a couple different places. And remember, it's like March Madness, and there's all, you know, basketball stuff going on. That I don't really care about. But every place we went into, there's just all different hockey games on TV. And I was like, oh, that's right. That's why this country's my home.
Yeah.
So pretty cool, man. It was a fun time.
I know. NCAA stuff you don't care about. Villanova's in the championship tonight. You don't even care.
I really don't, unfortunately. I sincerely don't. I just don't. I don't know why. I never got in. Basketball is a sport where I watch it sometimes, and I'm like, wow, I should like this. And then the last 2 minutes of the game take 45 minutes, and I'm like, that's right.
Hmm.
Oh, that's right. So it's exciting still. I'll still watch the Nova game.
I'm wondering, my friend in Michigan that I said lived in Ann Arbor,
yeah.
He's a big Flyers fan. And, you know, 'cause he grew up around here. So whenever the Flyers play the Red Wings, he usually goes to the game in his right. Flyers gear. And actually, his one of the games this year, when the Flyers played the Red Wings, it was on, like, rivalry night because, you know, they played yeah. 20 years ago in a playoff yeah. series. And during one of the intermissions, they showed his daughter. They had seats up against the glass,
yeah.
and she was fogging up the glass, like, with her nose. And then making little hearts on the glass. And they actually showed it on there. It was
that's
one
awesome.
Of the funniest things. I'm like, yep, that's totally her. But, yeah, I wonder if he's... I have to ask him if he's rooting for Michigan or Villanova today.
I don't know.
It could be interesting. Because I know he's not, like, a big Villanova fan.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Just wondering. I don't know. Lives yeah. so close to Michigan that, like, his wife works for the University of Michigan. And you
gotcha.
Know, just
yeah, so he might by default.
Yeah.
It's like his
when it's
school
the
now.
Schools, yeah, yeah might
the
be
schools
that.
Are a little different.
Yeah,
that's that was weird. That was put a you know sour taste in my mouth when Villanova won before, and it was like let's have a parade for Villanova. I'm like, no, you're not. We have universities here.
I know
we have like if Temple won, sure, let's you know.
Even at that though, that's like if Villanova wins this year, there's probably no parade, right?
Because
the Eagles just won.
We were just
yeah, we've had a parade.
We're just starving for a parade. That's all.
Yeah.
It's like nah, you know what? Full.
Yeah,
I don't need any more parade.
If we haven't had one in a few years, then yeah, you get a parade. But
I almost want them to win now because I really want to see what happens. If
like
they have
no
a parade,
if they
be terrible.
Do, no one, yeah, no yeah. one will go.
Yeah,
it's just only Villanova people, yeah. of course. But.
God will make it rain. You know, just it's like, come on, speed this up, get out of here. Oh, man, good stuff.
Yeah,
I think that's all we got. This fine episode 112. Creeping up slowly but surely, getting ready
yeah.
for playoff time.
I know. Can't
Woo.
Wait. By the next time we do one, probably
yeah,
the Flyers will be eliminated.
You're welcome, Flyers Nation. All right, everyone. Well, as always, you can find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/broadcastbullies. On Twitter, we're at Bullies Podcast. On the interwebs, we are broadcastbullies.com and all kinds of podcast catchers, iTunes and stuff. Man, you already got your headphones off. You are done. Like, you need them to hear me anyway.
I know, right? You're right here.
I'm next. Couldn't be closer. Too close, actually. Thanks, everyone, for listening. That's the end of the show. As always, let's go, Flyers.